Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Well, welcome if you're new to Fairmount Friends, and thank you for coming. Perhaps you're here because you're watching your grandkid or something like that. I'm Brock Meyer, the pastor here. And it's a joy to have you. And so thanks for joining us this morning. We're going to go to the Word, and we're going to learn a little bit more about the Christmas story here this morning. And specifically, I want to zero in on one particular character of the story, and it's the man named Joseph. We're going to be in two different passages of Scripture, Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to grab your Bibles, go ahead, and we will dive in here. If you did not bring your Bible, that's fine. We'll have the text on the screen. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, the story goes like this. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David." I don't know about you, but sometimes the holy family can seem so holy that they're hard to connect to. They can seem so pristine and so clean that it's hard to really even get close to potentially even a dirty manger. We've propped them up to where they're so incredible that we're just so disconnected from who they are. We look at the Holy Family and the person of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus and wonder, man, that is a package that is tied in a really cute bow. That I'm not sure that my family really looks like that. And I don't want to rob this story of its messiness. Or if I could say it this way, I don't want to pull it off the street too early. I want it to have the street cred that it has because there's some hard stuff that it took to get to this point. And one particular hard piece that I want us to dive into this morning is the backstory of Joseph and how it landed that he would be a part of this holy family. We see that a census is being taken, so everyone is then called back to their hometown so that they can then figure out what the population of that city is. We see that Joseph is not home. Joseph is in Nazareth. And so it just begs the question to me, why is Joseph not in Bethlehem? He has to travel back to Bethlehem, but he's not with his family. He's not at home. And so let's just maybe tease it out a little bit. What's some possibilities? Perhaps the economy. Maybe there weren't a lot of job opportunities. Perhaps his family wasn't a family of trade that really thought through generationally of maybe the blacksmith trade, of how to provide job opportunities for their children as they were coming up. And so Joseph had to look elsewhere for job opportunities. Maybe something fell through with the family farm, and so he had to go looking elsewhere. Maybe it wasn't economical. Maybe it was relational. Was there a wedge that took place in the family? And for whatever, Joseph said, "I'm out. I'm not going to be here. I'm not staying here. I'm going elsewhere." For whatever the reason is, Joseph's not home. And I think that it begs the question to kind of lean into it for a little bit, because in the next passage, even when he goes home, he doesn't have a home. So let's continue to read here and kind of lean into this story of Joseph. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. So flip over there. Does anybody have part of your backstory that you're kind of, you hope that nobody else knows? Anybody else have a piece of your family history that you hope just kind of remains quiet and it doesn't really make like the canons of the gospel scriptures? You're like, just shh, we don't need to retell that for 2,000 years. Let's just kind of keep that part of our story hush hush. I don't even really enjoy going back to my family. I'm not even pumped about Christmas and being with those people, especially those in-laws, those people are just really weird. Like, man, they told me it was a package deal, but I didn't really realize how big of a package deal that gift would be. It's the gift that just keeps on giving, man. And whatever those things are, there's a piece of Joseph's backstory that we just don't know about, nor is he forthcoming and telling us. And I don't know necessarily how heaven will play out as far as us interacting, but I hope that I get to see Joseph. And for whatever reason, I want to lean in and say, hey, Joseph. Hey, Yosef. Because I'll be very fluent in Hebrew. Yo, Yosef. Tell me the backstory. Where did you come from? What was your family's story? He'll roll his eyes and he's like, gee whiz, how many times do I have to tell this story? And we'll sit together and he'll share. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This term come together doesn't mean just that they, you know, started dating and they came together. This is talking in a sexual relationship. So they were sexually pure. Before they came together, she was already pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. This public law that they're talking about is the Torah. And so even before he had their ceremonial marriage, they were already betrothed. And under the betrothal law, you are now financially responsible that you would take care of this woman. So you would provide food, housing, clothing for this person. So they are together, but they haven't come together sexually. So there's still the purity, but they are betrothed in a sense of being like they're married. That's why he says, I've got to go through the legal process now of divorcing her. So he's walking this out. He's playing this scenario out. So I don't have perhaps a great relationship at home. Bringing her home only complexes the whole situation. She's this young girl. She's around 13 or 14 years old. She's already pregnant. The baby's not mine. Anybody ever had that conversation? I'm imagining a tough conversation. To either give that news to someone or to hear that news from someone and to wrestle through that. And man, do I want to stay? And do I really want to be here? And man, I didn't sign up for this. I just signed up for like maybe one night of fun, but now there's like 18 years of responsibility. Whoa, am I all in here? And to compound things, it's not even mine. I know this is not my child. I've never been with you. This is not mine. Whew. I got to have an encounter with Jesus. You got to talk to me, Holy Spirit. You got to reveal some things, Holy Spirit. You got to make sure that the call that I'm about to walk into and step into, that I'm going to be fully obeying and trusting that you're the God that will provide if I answer the call on this. This is a pretty heavy, weighty deal. And as Joseph is wrestling through this, he decides in his mind he's going to divorce her. I'm out. I'm not doing it. Perhaps Mary has to have that conversation with her parents, and Joseph is having that conversation, and who knows what all that stuff is kind of looking like, but now he says it's just better if I'm out. And for whatever reason, Joseph decides to stay. He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to handle this responsibility. I'm going to take on a weight here, and I want to play out the rest of this story of Joseph to really gain some perspective. All of a sudden, the Holy Family starts becoming very relatable. Like, yep, been there. Yep, walked through that. Yeah, oh, I heard that conversation before. I heard that news. I gave that news. Man, I wrestled through that news with my parents or with my kids. And Joseph says, I'm in. Luke chapter 2 and verse 5. So he went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And I just think, man, what is going on here? Joseph comes home. His pregnant wife is with him. And while he's coming home, he's knocking on the door of his parents' house. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. I'm home. I know it's been a while. You know, crazy Caesar, he shout out that tweet. We all got to come home, so I'm here. They're doing that population thing. I got to punch the hole. I got nowhere to go. Steps out of the doorway, and here's this little 14-year-old girl. I mean, 9 months. It's happening that night. 9 months. And crazy story. This is my wife. Got married. I met a girl, and she's brilliant, and she's amazing, and we got married. And she's pregnant. No, I know you told me. It's not mine, trust me. But I'm in. I'm doing this thing. I'm just wondering, can I come home? Can I just stay with y'all for a little bit? And their answer is no. No. You can't stay there. And I'm thinking, what is the backstory here? Why is Joseph, even when he comes home, is not allowed to come home? If for nothing else, there's a pregnant girl here. She's about to have a baby. Can someone just scoot over? Can she get on the couch? Can she get into the guest room? They said there's no room in the main room. There's no room in the living room, in the dining room. There's no room, not even in the guest room. You can go to the barn. And whether this was the shepherd's quarters, it was a lean-to, or the shepherd's cave, whatever it was the barn. You guys can go out there. And we know this to be true because the whole scene that's around, that the shepherds are gathered around, and that he's born into a trough, into a manger. We see that it's just Mary and Joseph there by themselves, and so Joseph is delivering this baby. No family is checking in. Doesn't see that anybody's like helping or like checking in. There's no medical attention. Nobody's even saying, Mary, you okay out there? You need a blanket? Nothing is happening. And you know that they could hear it. I've watched 3 babies be born from my wife. You know they can hear it. This was not a silent night. It may have been a holy night, but it wasn't a silent night. She is screaming, she is groaning, she is birthing. Something that's happening here is going on, and they're in it alone by themselves. Anybody want to get connected to the Holy Family a little bit deeper? You ever felt rejection from your family? In the time that it matters most? Oh, if I've ever needed a word of encouragement, if I've ever needed my support, if I've ever needed a family member to come around in my weakness, in my moment, I need some support. I need some family to come rushing in around me. This is the time that I need them. No one. It's like, son, get to stepping. We're done here. We don't really hear much more about Joseph the rest of the life of Jesus. We have this moment. Later on, we hear that Mary and Joseph are with Jesus and a whole group of people. Jesus is about 12 at the time, and it's the last that Joseph is mentioned in the scriptures. There's a couple other times where Joseph is mentioned, but he doesn't even get a name mention. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, it says, Jesus was the son of the carpenter, okay? Or in Hebrew, ho-to technos hios, or that techno, it should be tekka, means that he was like a technician, okay? He was, that's where we get the word technician, the techna, okay? So we call him a carpenter, but probably more like a mason. 95% of the stone quarries at this time was owned by Herod. And so this was the main work. He's like the only guy that's hiring. Rome is on the march. Rome is taking over. And there's only a handful of jobs. And so he's just doing technical work. He's a carpenter. He's a mason. He's in the construction field. As Rome is building stuff, he's helping them build, is what Joseph is. But they can't even call him by his name. Any parents out there, your significance in the storyline starts to go so small that you don't even have a name anymore. Like, you're not Brock, you're Judah's dad. Oh, are you Ronnie's dad? You're Nora's mom, right? You don't even have a name anymore. Your relevance to the rest of the storyline, like, we're pumped about your kids. Like, you got a really cool kid. Jesus is amazing. And I don't know, he was like the UPS driver, right? That's what he was. Doesn't even have a name anymore. One time in Scripture, in Mark 6:3, Mark, they call Jesus the son of Mary. Jesus is gone, all right? Or Joseph is gone. He's now just the son of Mary. How about this? Whenever it's going through the genealogy of Joseph, and it's only listed twice, Matthew and Luke, it's a totally different genealogy. The backstory is so interesting with Joseph. There's three different lines of thinking on this genealogy. One is that Matthew follows the lineage of Joseph. That Luke follows the lineage of Mary. As both of them lead back to David, because he's a son of David. One comes from the line of Solomon, and one comes from the line of Nathan, who David had Nathan with Bathsheba. But even trying to get his story right, their backstory of where does this guy even come from, we don't even really know. And a third option is perhaps Joseph didn't have much of a family. Maybe he actually was given up by his family and he was adopted. And I kind of like this version of the story, because then it says that this would have been his biological lineage, and this, the family that he was adopted into, would have been the second lineage, his adopted family that he was brought into. And why I like that is because adoption is the perfect picture of how Jesus brings us into the family of God. Jesus says, I'm going to be brought in through adoption. And I'm going to then, as Joseph, as you've been adopted, and now, Joseph, you're going to adopt me. Joseph, trust me. I'm the only way back to the Father, and I will adopt you back into the family. This is powerful stuff of what is going on here. Anybody, maybe you've given, and you've worked, and you've served. Let's just say in any scenario, let's just take a church, all right? Let's just pick on ourselves, okay? And we do an amazing event. We do a luncheon, okay? And we've got to prepare food, and we've got all of these workers that are serving, okay? And we've got, I don't know, 100 people downstairs that we've got to try to feed. And we got to get the plates and the napkins and the silverware and the drinks and the dessert table and dress the tables. And then everybody eats, and they're gone. And then we got to vacuum the carpet and take out the trash, and we've got to do all of this extra stuff. And then the next Sunday, the pastor gets up there, and he's going to start thanking people that served. And he's going to call them by name, which is a terrible idea, because you're going to forget somebody. And so he starts calling them off by name, right? And he says, I just want to thank Vicky and Terry and Jane and Lois and Carolyn. And he starts calling everybody by name. And he lists 99 people by name. Surely he can think of that one name that's your name. And he doesn't, because he's a terrible pastor. And he forgets your name, and he honors everybody else but you. And you're like, man, I put in the work, man. Like, I carried out the trash and those cheap garbage bags that leak out the bottom all over my dress. I'm still down into my shoe. I'm still walking on apple crumble for 3 weeks. I'm not speaking from experience. Little pain pocket we touched right there. That I am working and serving and taking on, like Joseph takes on something that he doesn't have to. Let's relate to the family, the Holy Family again. Anybody ever just feel forgotten? We don't even know your name. We want you to do all the stuff, but probably won't get much recognition for it. This Holy Family is just like our family, y'all. It is just human stuff. This is us. This is what we walk through all the time. Joseph, then, as we see here later on in life, we know that probably marries a widow fairly early in the storyline. Joseph's not at the first miracle, the wedding at Canaan, and Joseph's not at the end, at the crucifixion. We know this to be true because he would have been legally the rights to the body to take care and preserve the body after Jesus was gone. And it was given to like Joseph of Arimathea or something. And then while Jesus is on the cross, he looks down at Peter and John. He tells John, now take care of Mary. Take care of my mom. Well, why? Why wouldn't Joseph just take care of her? Because Joseph's probably not there anymore. Mary's probably widowed, and she needs now another man to step into her life and take care of her. And so Jesus gives this responsibility to John. So Joseph shows up on the scene. He takes on unbelievable responsibility. He's rejected by his family. He's pretty much forgotten about, and then he's dead. Whew, this is a tough, tough story. But I believe it's a man who answered a call. And he said, God, you can use me. You can forget my name. It doesn't have to be about me. But how can I be the pathway to bring in the presence of God? What can I do to be a bridge? And I'm going to lay my life down. And as you walk across this bridge, may it bring Jesus to the world. I'll lay my life down for this thing. And he ultimately does. A couple weeks ago, Alyssa is sharing in the Sunday school class, in the kids' class. And she's telling the story of Jesus. And she asked the question, how many of you all know this person, Jesus? Everyone raises their hands, but two. And so she kind of breaks this down. You've never heard the name of Jesus? You don't know who this person is? No, we've never even heard of this. Begins to kind of tell this story and kind of even interviewing one of the kids in there who has all the answers. It was Bud and Carla's granddaughter. She knows all the answers about Jesus. She's pumped about Jesus. But as they're asking these stories, gets to know them. Scott, they're the two kids that Scott and Emily have brought into their home to foster. And I'm immediately thinking of Joseph. Thinking, we've got a Joseph in our house that takes people in that are not his, that do not belong to him. And he says, I'll give you a home. I'll shoulder the work. I'll take on the responsibility that is not mine. I'll do it. I'll answer the call. Sign me up. Where do I sign? Because I'm all in. On the mess, on the hardship, on the ache, on the pain, sign me up. Bring it on. I'm in, right? Scott, can you come up here? Can you join me for a minute? 2 months ago, yeah, jump up here. We did this. This is a shirt that says wanted, chosen, love, adopted. As Scott and Emily brought in another child into their home, not just to foster, but to say, you are 100% a sovereign, as they adopted Julian into their home. This is modern day Joseph stuff, y'all. Come on. And we're all standing up there rocking this shirt, and there's Julian holding up this sign and saying, you know what? I may not have been born here, but I was chosen here. And I may not have been born in your belly, but I was born in your heart, and I was birthed in your spirit, and I'm a part of this family. And we're seeing this Joseph thing moment. that is happening and that's taking place. What is happening here is these kids that have never heard the name of Jesus. A man has an encounter through the Holy Spirit and says, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. I will lay my life down. And if I'm forgotten, and if I'm rejected, and I don't have enough, and I'm just going to grind it out, and I'm going to show up to the stone quarry tomorrow, and I'm going to show up to the stone quarry the next day, and I'm going to build, and I'm just going to build another table. Whatever it is that I've got to do, I'm going to take on the responsibility of this kid. I'm going to do it." And through an act of obedience and laying down of the life, we're going to bring Jesus to some people. This is powerful stuff that we're talking about. In just a moment, what we're going to do as a church family is we're going to say, it's not just enough for you to shoulder it. We as a church family want to help shoulder. And so through a generous Christmas spirit, this morning we're going to give to Scott. We're going to give to the Sovereigns. And we're going to say, you blow it out for Christmas. You blow it out for these kids. You love them up. You point them to Jesus and you celebrate big time. And we're going to give to them this morning. I want to read this final scripture here. Blaine, hit me with this last scripture. Here's how the story goes. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. So he took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to a son. He gave him the name Jesus. Amen. There's a lot more to the story than what we might think about. And the Holy Family isn't tied up in a cute little bow where it was nice and clean. It was rough. It was rejected. It was hard. It was some people saying, "Oh man, I'll be responsible. And we'll see this thing through." And church family, we've got some people in this community that are saying, we want to join together, we want to see this thing through, whatever's happening in our family. So as we close here this morning, we're going to close in prayer. We've got an offering plate sitting right here. On your way out, I want you to reach deep, not only into your pocket, but into your heart. And I want you to say, "I'm in. I'm in with this family, and we're going to give." Whether it's a check, if it's cash, whatever it is, we're going to give to the Sovereign Family. Would you all stand with me as we close here this morning? Thanks, brother. And there's Emily. Yeah, come on, girl. I'll slide on over, Scott. Let me slide over, and you guys both come up here. Emily, you didn't hear that, did you?
No, I did not.
You're going to have to go back and listen. It was kind of cool. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have come and that you didn't avoid the mess. You dove right into our mess. That you dove into a world of hurt and pain, and that you stood with us and that you labored with us and you worked with us. We thank you for families like the Sovereigns and so many, God, that are willing to dive into the mess with people. And Father, we just want to bless. We want to give. We want to support. We say we're all in on this Christmas season. We're all in, baby. We are all in. We're bringing Jesus to the world. We're bringing Jesus to our community. We're bringing Jesus to individual families and homes with hearts that are full of blessing. We're doing it. We're all in, and we celebrate you, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.